Pippa Hudson on Cake Talk. Call Pippa on 021-446-0567.
During yesterday's show, we spoke to Tsepo Moletsane, a community leader in Masiphumelele, talking about the news that the city of Cape Town has again been instructed to go in and clean the area up. Issues include removal of stockpiles of solid waste, a thorough cleanup of the stormwater drains, and just continuous ongoing cleanup operations, maintenance of toilets and washing facilities, etc. Tsepo told us he was very pleased with the news, and the community was pleased with the news that a second directive had been issued by province ordering the city to get moving on this, but at the same time frustrated that it took that much, that it needed to go back for a second directive, and also questioning where the work that had been done effectively and had been carried out to the level that it should have been. And we promised we would get some follow-up from the city, and I'm going to give an opportunity to Xanthia Limburg, the mayoral committee member for informal settlements, water and waste services and energy, to respond to what he said. But I think in fairness, I'd like Xanthia to listen back to some of that interview with Tsepo Moletsane. So let's just bear with us. I'd like to replay just a minute or two of what he told us about conditions in Masiphumelele. Let's take a listen.
Then there is an area called Lake Michelle. Mm-hmm. Lake Michelle is one of the closer neighboring communities in Masi. The challenges of those four water canals there, they should be attended properly, because we believe that the city of Cape Town has got enough resources to ensure that these things are being attended. But there is this kind of a delaying tactics by the ward councillor, because it started there. She's the one who's supposed to make sure that this thing is attended. But I must tell you that she has got no time to ensure that these things are being attended. I know that there are people that are working there, but they are not monitored. Monitoring is becoming a challenge. With regard to the to say maybe how's things up to so far, it's not 100%. Mm. It's not 100%, because I can tell you from my own experience, I'm also residing in the same community as a community leader there. It's only one water canal that I can say to you, they are attending to it, but not to up to a satisfactory standard. But they are still the same. Nothing has been done there. But I believe that about this second directive, something is going to happen there. And you know, Councillor Limburg, who is the political head of informal settlement, I wish that she can monitor these people very close so that they don't provide a wrong report to her office. Because I know that they are providing or submitting a wrong report to say that, no, they are doing the work while the work is not being done.
That's quite a serious allegation, Tsepo. I know that that Xanthia Limburg told the newspaper that they've spent something like R1 million maintaining the wetland area in particular since March. So you seem to be suggesting that if that money's being spent, you're not necessarily seeing the results in the practical work that is being done.
No, colleague, you know, if ever we are talking about the expenditures, maybe they must tell us where and how are they spending this money, so that at least the expenditures can also confirm the work that has been done. I'm staying in Masiphumelele. It's a matter of time. If you can have time, I can invite you to say, let's go there and see for yourself, so that you can witness what you're talking about. The public protector has done the same thing. The Human Rights Commission in the province, Mr. Chris Nissan, he has done the same thing. I know that there was a site visit by the office of Councillor Xanthia Limburg, but that site visit, it needs to be monitored as well.
Well, listening into that replay was Councillor Xanthia Limburg, who joins me on the line now. Thanks for your time this afternoon, and welcome to the show, Xanthia. Good afternoon.
Thank you, and thanks for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. Now, Tsepo speaking there about concerns about the quality of work where work has been done, and also concerns about work that should have happened that hasn't taken place. Let's maybe take a step back before we talk nuts and bolts and details of what has or hasn't happened. The bigger question is, why has it taken two directives from province to get this issue moving? Surely residents of Masi deserve safe and hygienic living conditions as well as any other residents of Cape Town. Why does it take province having to send not one but two directives to get some movement on the issue?
So just in terms of the directives, the first directive that was issued by the provincial government was actually set aside. based on the evidence of cleansing services that the city delivers in the area, province decided to set aside that particular directive. In respect to the second, the city will be pursuing appealing that particular directive because we believe that we are trying to improve the living conditions of the residents in Masin Pumalele by delivering a regular cleansing service within the area. The city has developed a working plan in the form of the Masin Pumalele Matrix Plan to enhance service delivery. And that plan is monitored by provincial government, the city, and national government. It is a holistic plan, and all spheres of government are supposed to be ensuring that they also action their respective parts of that plan. And so there's a quarterly meeting where the city provides feedback on this particular matrix plan. And so we've been providing regular feedback around what we have been doing in the area and what we continuously do. Obviously, we remain committed to, A, working with the community and enhancing services where possible. So maybe just to touch on some of the services that we do offer, we provide a seven-day door-to-door refuse collection within the area, and on average, we've been dispatching repairs and maintenance teams on a weekly basis. We clean the stormwater canals, and not just one, but all of the canals, continuously on a daily basis, and a combination of contractors and expanded public works program workers are also performing cleaning operations. In terms of monitoring, we intensify our monitoring to ensure that the janitors who are placed in that area cleaning the toilets are also doing so appropriately. And just to give you more insight around the scale of the cleansing services that we deliver, we spend about 1 million rand per quarter just on cleaning and cleansing services in Masin Pumalele. And that is for things such as litter collection, sludge removal, combination of hire for sludge removal vehicles, and where there is certain mechanical methodology required to do the cleaning services, we also ensure we make that provision. We are currently working on a pilot project to divert extra grey water from the canals, and we're also in the process of undertaking a wash house structure, and this will provide additional toilet and sanitation services within the area. Previously, the city also offered portable flush toilets to the community, but there was resistance. We have now re-offered that, and there has been a uptake of that particular service offering. And so we're in the process of finalizing beneficiary lists, and we'll be issuing portable flush toilets to the most vulnerable within that community, and we're getting the assistance of community leaders to do so. We also do regular site visits, whether it be myself, the sub-council, or the ward councillor. The last site visit that I did was with the Human Rights Commissioner, and the Human Rights Commissioner and his team have also committed to assisting us in building a working relationship with the community and obviously driving enhanced service delivery. But we also need the residents to work with us, and so we are doing awareness and education programs in the area because we need to prevent people from dumping inappropriately. A lot of inappropriate materials are being dumped into the canals and placing litter bins and blue bags in the canals, which does create further blockages along the system. And so those are some of the commitments that we also need from the community to ensure that we can address many of the issues that result in these service complaints.
Xanthia, I just want to share with you some points made in an email I've received from somebody who lives close to this community and spends a great deal of time within Masin Pumalele, although she herself doesn't live there. But this is what she writes, for example, about the toilets, saying each toilet is used on average by around about 100 people. The mechanisms do break easily. Water is pouring 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in many of those toilets. It has been the case for months, the same toilets, and it has has not been fixed. She also speaks about piles and piles of rubbish accumulating, canals not having been dredged, canals not being cleaned regularly, saying it's not true that that is happening on a regular basis. Now, between the two, there's a big disconnect here. Is it a case of you sending teams in who say they're doing the work, not doing the work properly? What is going wrong? Because if people on the ground are saying it's not as you say it is, I'm struggling to understand what where the truth lies here.
Well, the resident that you're referring to, Ms. Milbank, I mean, she has not entirely been honest on her part as well. And the agenda that she tends to drive is also a largely political one.
Sorry, Xanthia, I don't know who you're speaking. I haven't identified the resident I'm referring to. So I don't know who you're making allegations against here.
I suggest that the resident that you are speaking about is a lady called Ms. Milbank. We are in contact with her, and she has also been part of many of our site visits. So we have teams on site. Those teams do take photographs every time they have done a cleaning operation. So we have evidence of us doing cleaning operations. We have also provided many of the community activists in that area with those images indicating the before and after photographs. What is quite disturbing most times is that after we have done cleansing services within that area, it only takes a couple of hours or the next day for the situation to return to unacceptably uncleansy conditions. So there is clearly an issue of dumping, which we are addressing through ongoing programs. We are we have janitors in the area. We have informal settlement workers in the area also reporting. We are sending out our work teams there on a weekly basis, and all of these work teams are photographing all of the work, and we develop an evidence of our work that we carry out in the area, so that when we are questioned, we are able to say, on this and this date, we offer these levels of services. This is what it looked like after we were done cleaning, and this is what it looked like after we returned. And that kind of information we readily supply and have made available to many communities, particularly Tepo as well, who works closely with my office. And so we are not saying that what we have done is, completely perfect. There are areas that we want to further enhance, services such as the rollout of portable flush toilets. And these are things that we are committed to pursuing. And obviously, where we can, we count on the community to form part of that broader solution.
Final question, Xanthia, very, very quickly, is if, as you say, you're doing the best that you can, you feel you are making a substantive effort to improve conditions, why does the city feel the need to appeal the second directive? If you are delivering what the directive is instructing you to do, surely there would be no need to appeal it.
We would need to appeal it because the directive in some ways insinuates that we are not delivering on the action items. When we are, and we are able to supply legitimate evidence that we are complying with the requirements as per that matrix plan, and therefore we believe that the directive being issued is not entirely reflective of the efforts that the city is placing within that community and on the ground on a daily basis.
Councillor Xanthia Limburg, thanks for your time this afternoon. We do have to leave it there to move on to news. Xanthia Limburg is the mayoral committee member for informal settlements, as well as, of course, for water and waste services and energy.